guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
Konnichiwa. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Paranormal Hotline. Each week on Paranormal Hotline, we deliver to you a nicely wrapped piece of the weird, spooky, or paranormal. Between episodes, we roam the fields looking for passages to the other world in an effort to make an unholy pact with forbidden gods. I do anyway, in a bid for world domination. My name is Oisin and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Kaylee.
Hello.
Kaylee, I'm Vil Gokrod Genki. How are you?
Genki?
Genki means good.
Oh. That's
yeah,
news to me.
There's a lesson for you. Yeah.
Yeah, everything's great. How are you? How have you been? How's the fields?
The fields are doing mighty. There was a great rain, so it's kicking off. Bees are happy. I've started beekeeping, kind of.
Oh yeah, I saw that actually. That's cool.
Mm. Yeah, love bees. Hoping to get a hive maybe of my own and come the spring. But
ooh,
for now, we're just doing
cool.
Some learning. So yeah,
nice.
So that's what I've been up to. For this episode, we're going to Japan. Not in real life, unfortunately, but in the form of stories. There's a slightly different spin for an episode, as we have three stories from Japan, from three different eras. It's interesting. Japan has a strong history of telling ghost stories. Let us begin.
I'm excited. Let's go.
Let's go. During the Edo period, which was from 1603 to 1867, a parlor game called Hyaku Monogatari, Kai Dankai, became popular. That can be translated as a gathering of 100 supernatural tales.
Oh, I've heard of this.
You have the book of of games, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Only got it recently. It's like a book of dangerous games to play in the dark. And this is one of them. This is really cool, actually.
This is a spooky game. So for our listeners, this game was played by a group of people. When it was darkest, they would set up 100 andon, which was a type of lamp, a traditional lamp, or candles, and a mirror, sometimes in another room. Then they would take turns to tell a ghostly story or some other paranormal folktale. After telling their story, they'd go into the other room or wherever the candle is, and they'd put one out. So over the course of the night playing the game, that room would grow darker and darker. It was said that the darkness, after tale 100, would create a safe haven for the evocation of spirits. Many players would stop playing after story 99, afraid of invoking the spirits they might have been summoning. It does sound like a cool game. I would be up for playing it.
Why would you get to 99 and then get too scared? Like, you've committed 99 stories.
Yeah, it's the 100th one that does it, you know?
Yeah, but why get, like, I don't know. That if I was playing it with somebody and then they chickened out at 99, I'd be like, stop blue balling me. We're here now. We're going to summon this demon together. Also, like, if I was playing this game with, like, my friends, there's no way we wouldn't be, like, we'd be telling 100 ghost stories, which is a lot. And I think, as far as I remember, you're supposed to make the story up on the spot pretty much, aren't you?
Well, in this case, and it actually, it's where I'm going with all this, it was kind of like they'd collect stories a lot of the time. Or
yeah,
a story, it doesn't have to have a start, middle, and end. It could be like, oh, I heard from the man down the road, he was walking and he saw, in the dark, and he saw a face in a tree. That would qualify as a story in this case, kind of thing. So yeah, so the stories were known as kaidan, and they could have been quite short, and they didn't need a start or an end, like I said, and just more or less a weird occurrence. The popularity of the game led to a demand for the ghost stories or kaidan, and this crosses with, at the time, there was the use of the printing press, and books that collected a lot of spooky stories and folklore were printed. A lot of the first kaidan were based on Buddhist stories, and they had kind of like a lesson to them, like a parable.
Yeah.
But that kind of evolved into like more gruesome stories and more weird stories, because that's what people liked and they were in demand.
That's what was selling, baby.
Yeah. And there's also a local link to this for us, which is unexpected because Japan is quite far away from Ireland. But as always, it's a small world. The word kaidan was popularized in English by a writer called Laugh Caddy O'Hearn when he wrote a book called Kaidan: Stories and Studies of Strange Things, which I think is a great book title. It has it all in there. You know,
yeah,
you know what
amazing.
You're getting. The book is a collection of Japanese ghost stories, and also it goes into like a non-fiction essay on bugs at the end.
Oh.
But that's beside the point. Growing up, Laugh Caddy lived with his great aunt, sometimes in Tremor, which is our closest seaside town. Tremor has a Japanese garden there that's named for him. And one Halloween time, I went to some spooky readings of the stories from his book there at night, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
One of the stories collected in that book is Mimi Nashi Hoichi, or Hoichi the Earless. So, if you'll excuse the efforts of my summary, it won't be as nice as Lafcadio's version. It goes a little something like this. Hoichi was a biwa hoshi, or lute priest. That is, a travelling minstrel who played the biwa, which is a roundy Japanese lute. He was blind, as many biwa hoshi were, and he was good at performing the tale of the hike. That was an epic story describing the struggle between the Taira clan and the Minamoto clan at the end of the 12th century and the fall of Emperor Antoku. Essentially, biwa hoshi would travel around and recite spoken literature and accompany it themselves with music on the biwa. Hoichi was so good that it was said of his performances that even the goblins could not refrain from tears. Yeah, I like this. It's like a little bit he puts in about the setting, that goblins are real, just accept it.
And it's impressive to make them cry, apparently.
Yes.
Weep sorrowful tears.
He's just shredding on the lute and they're just all crying.
That's really funny.
Alas, Hoichi was still very poor, but he found a place to stay in Amadaji Temple, where he had impressed a priest with his music and reciting. Amadaji was also where Emperor Antoku was buried. Anyway, one night the priest was out on call doing a Buddhist service at the house of someone who had died, so Hoichi was alone in the temple. It was a hot night, so he went out on the veranda to stay cool, and to kill time he was practicing his biwa. It got late, but he stayed outside in the cool air. He heard steps approaching. Someone crossed the garden and stopped in front of him, but it was not his priest friend. A deep voice called him, in the manner of a samurai calling on someone below them in society. Hoichi. Hoichi was too surprised by it all to respond, and the voice called him again with a harsh command. Hoichi! Hi, Hoichi answers, spooked by the voice. I am blind and I cannot know who calls. So the samurai tells him there is nothing to fear, and that his lord, who was of extra high rank, was staying nearby, having viewed the site of the Battle of Danuura. He goes on to say that his lord had heard of Hoichi's skill at reciting the story of the said battle, and that he wanted to hear it. So he was being summoned and was to go with the samurai. So he goes with the samurai, and he arrives where the lord was staying. And to the blind Hoichi, his surroundings sound very fancy. So he's like, this lord is a daimyo. And they were like the big lords. He sets up, and a woman's voice is telling him, do the recital of the history of the Haike. And he's like, that's pretty long. It'll take a few nights. What bit do you want to hear now? So she says to him, do the story of the battle at Danuura, for the pity of it is the most deep. So he does his chant of the story, and he shreds on the biwa, and everyone is really moved, and they're crying at the story and at how skilled he is. When he's done, he gets told there's a big reward for him, but he needs to perform for the daimyo for the next 6 nights. And also that the daimyo is traveling incognito, so like, don't mention him, and don't mention where you're heading out to. The samurai leads him back to the temple. It was dawn when he got back, but the priest didn't suspect anything as he came in late from the funeral, and he thought that Hoichi was off sleeping in his room. The second night, he went again, gave another A1 performance, but this time he being gone was noticed at the temple. After he got back, the priest was asking him why he was gone at night, worried for him because he's blind, and that he could send someone to accompany him, asking him where he had gone to. Hoichi is like, I had private business, couldn't be done any other time. The priest was surprised and worried, thinking this lad is bewitched or deluded by some evil spirits. He didn't say anything, but he secretly asked for some temple servants to watch on Hoichi and follow him if he leaves after dark. It was a dark, rainy night, and when Hoichi headed out, the servants followed him with torches, but Hoichi had disappeared. He had walked off really fast, which is a thing that's kind of important because the roads were in poor condition and he was blind, so away he goes. The servants went to town and they asked if anyone had seen him go. They had not. As they went to return back to the temple, they heard the sound of the biwa. The sound was coming from Amadaji Cemetery. Except for some ghostly fires, such as usually flitted there on dark nights, all was blackness in that direction. But the men at once hastened to the cemetery, and there, by the help of their lanterns, they discovered Hoichi, sitting alone in the rain before the memorial tomb of Antoku Tenno, making his biwa resound and loudly chanting the chant of the Battle of Danuura. And behind him, and about him, and everywhere above the tombs, the fires of the dead were burning like candles. Never before had so great a host of Oni Bi appeared in the sight of mortal men. The servants shout to him and he won't stop or come with them, so they drag him back to the temple. The priest demanded an explanation. Hoichi explained the situation this time. The priest was like, do you realize that you were not wherever you thought you were, and we were actually surrounded by the tombs of the Haiki and the tomb of Antoku, and it was all an illusion except for the calling of the dead? He told Hoichi that by obeying them once, they now had power over him, and if he did so again, they would tear him into pieces. Now that he had told him what he was up to, they would sooner or later anyway. The priest is then like, I have a thing on tonight though, so I can't stay to protect you. So he's a bit useless. He's a busy man, but he does have protective method. They will paint Hoichi's body with holy texts, the kanji for the Heart Sutra, which is like a Buddhist passage.
Yeah.
He warns Hoichi that he will be called tonight, but he cannot answer or move. If he moves or makes any noise, he will be torn asunder. But if he doesn't and he gets through it, he will have nothing more to fear. So that night, the samurai shows up again and calls for Hoichi, but Hoichi stays quiet. He calls for him again, with no answer. He goes looking for Hoichi, but he cannot see him as he sits on the veranda completely still, covered in the writing. Except he can see his ears. Thinking Hoichi has vanished, leaving only his ears, he must return to his lord, but he wants to take proof that he followed his master's commands as best he could. Hoichi felt his ears gripped by the samurai's fingers and torn off.
Oh my god!
Despite the immense pain, he did not cry out. As he watched the samurai leave, he did not move, despite the feeling of blood down the sides of his head. When the priest got back, he realized to his shock that he'd forgotten to write the sutra on Hoichi's ears, leaving them visible and vulnerable to the spirit.
What a prick. That is entirely his fault.
Yeah, yeah. He's very upset about it.
Good.
Despite injury, the ordeal meant that he was now free, and he recovered and became a famous musician. And that's the story of Hoichi the Earless. I think it's really eerie, especially like
it's
the
really
scene.
Eerie.
Oh. Eerie. Ah. Yeah.
You said it, Nami.
Didn't even write that down. especially the scene where they find him surrounded by lights, and it's just like you can imagine it, the sound of his biwa. It's quite haunting. And like, it's just him then.
That's terrifying.
And
yeah,
ghosts,
yeah.
Essentially.
He's playing to the ghosts.
What's interesting, and this is a thing that comes up in a lot of kind of the ghost stories and urban legends from Japan, as we'll see, there's rules that the spirits follow. Or there's like a way to fend them off.
Yeah. That's a common thing with Japanese ghost stories. Even like, when you think of like The Ring or something, that's Japanese.
Yeah,
isn't
it,
the Ring
it ties
Japanese.
Into that. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ringu, yeah.
So there's and always like there's always remake. Like something you, like there's rules. There's always rules.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
So here, the priest knew a way to protect Hoichi, and the spirits leave him alone once they've been tricked.
After they took his ears.
After they took his ears, yeah.
Poor man. He just picked like, the samurai tries to try to pick these ears up off the ground like they were pieces of cheese or something.
No, they would have been floating there is the thing.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It's not like they were flat on the ground. That's bizarre. It's very strange that he didn't question it in the first place, like this samurai appearing. I don't know. Maybe it's just
But
me.
No, he didn't tell him. He didn't tell him until they found him bewitched.
Oh, okay.
But also, he's blind. So he didn't
help.
Know. He just heard the samurai, and he was led there. So, like, he had, like, an experience.
That's terrifying. I don't like that at all. Man, if you're blind, you can't guarantee anybody's not a ghost. Everyone can be a ghost. I mean, technically, anyone can be a ghost anyway. I'm just freaking myself out now.
Friends, if you're enjoying the podcast, you can help it out. We have the Patreon up and running, and that's a thing you can do, and it helps us directly. A little goes a long way, and you get access to our Discord, where we're always chatting and posting additional spooky things. That's at patreon.com/paranormalhotline. You can also help us out by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. It doesn't take long, and it does go a long way to help. You can rate us on Spotify Mobile now, which is a newish thing, I think. You can follow us on Spotify. That helps us to make your life easier, too. We're also on Twitter, where you can follow for to stay up to date and see other spooky things we post. That's at ParanormalHL. If we jump into the future, as in Hoichi's future, still our past.
Okay.
The telling of ghost stories and paranormal events evolves into the urban legend. Unnatural, paranormal, or terrifying things told to be true. This one can be traced to being passed around as a schoolyard rumor in Japan, maybe back as far as the 1930s.
Do you have any like school ghost stories from your school when you were growing up?
I remember not really ghost stories, except for the ones kind of that were the banshee. I always say the banshee. Remember secondary school? That was when kind of the urban legends of like the creepypasta ones were about.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and like, while you knew they were urban legends, for someone with an active imagination, they're terrifying still. Because, like, when it gets dark, you're still questioning it yourself.
I feel like Bloody Mary is kind of a universal school ghost story, urban legend kind of a thing. There was something similar in a school that was near me. I didn't go to the school, but there was a school that was a former convent. So it was in this really creepy old building. It's actually the one my mom went to. And there was like this game that they used to play in the school where you'd go into one of the bathrooms alone. You flush the toilet three times and you say the Hail Mary backwards. And a nun's ghost was supposed to come out of the toilet. Which is really funny. But I feel like a few schools around here had like similar
I remember ghost hearing stories. Something similar to that, yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you have to do something like turn all the taps on, or there was rules, kind of like the Japanese ghost stories would be.
It appear in the mirror sometimes or something.
Yeah, it would appear behind you in the mirror, or you'd have to go in with a candle or something weird like that.
The primary school I went to was kind of a newer building, so there was none of that. And then the secondary school I went to was just, I think everything there was too paranormal just to... It's just a strange place. This story concerns...
Samurai? Sorry, that'd be cool. I want to see a samurai come out of the toilet.
It concerns a masked spirit named Akamanto, named for the red cloak or vest that he wears. Akamanto is said to appear to people when they're using a public toilet or the bathroom in school. When the spirit appears, he will ask the occupant of the toilet a deadly question. Do they want red paper or blue paper? Real talk time. Would you want red or blue paper? Fancy choices, no expenses spared.
See, this is like... I know this is like life or death, and sometimes in Japan you have to like trick the ghost. So I'm asking for yellow paper.
We'll get to that.
Ooh, you get extra death.
Essentially, from place to place, those details of the story change, as urban legends do. But fairly consistently, this spirit appears in a bathroom and asks you if you want red or blue paper, sometimes a cloak, sometimes a cape.
Oh.
Regardless, if you pick either option... you get killed.
Oh my god.
So it was a bit of a trick question I was asking you.
Right, right.
Bit of a very loaded, very deadly question.
Yeah.
Now, you can escape and bait the devil, as it were. Not unlike our brave hero Hoichi, you must ignore the spirit.
Ah, that's I should have done that. Damn it. I'd be
dead. Can also run away, but sometimes Akamanto will try to block you. The safe option is to ignore him, and you can also say to him that you don't want either kind of paper, and he'll go away. So remember this, I'm saving lives. In some versions, if you try to get smart and ask for any other color, you get dragged to hell.
I knew it.
Which seems
extra
fair.
Death.
but wait. Also.
Oh god.
But wait. Elsewhere, if you choose yellow, you might get your head stuck into the toilet.
Specifically yellow?
Yeah, specifically yellow in some places.
That was just a random color I picked.
It may or may not drown you, but...
my god,
head in the toilet. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's other embellishments about the various ways you get killed depending on what color you pick. So, like, if it's red, it's bloody.
Okay.
So like, you get flayed or you get stabbed or like...
Jeez.
You get covered in your own blood, or like he makes a cape out of your back or something.
I mean, the good thing is, right, I don't speak Japanese, so I definitely would just not know how to respond. Probably ignore him in real life.
Perfect, you know. It's a defense mechanism. If you pick blue, you can get suffocated or the blood drained from you, so you turn blue.
Ah, clever.
So just be careful is all.
Right. So really yellow is probably the best one. Right.
If you had to pick a color, yellow seems to be an okay one.
There's a chance of survival.
Unless it's actually just one of the ones that you get dragged to hell with. I'm not sure.
Oh, right, right, right. You get your head because dumped. It changes. Swirly whirly.
All the way to hell.
Dragged to hell.
It depends where you hear the story, I
guess. What if I get flushed down the toilet and then I end up coming out of the toilet as the nun? Expanding the multiverse of toilet ghosts.
This urban legend was recently referenced in Squid Game.
Oh, cool.
Have you watched Squid Game?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
Oh, I've only seen it kind of very sporadically.
You're a bit squeamish though, aren't you? So
sometimes.
It's definitely one of those shows that makes you go, ooh, no.
Yeah, and I also heard like there's like emotional values to people in it, and like that would get me too.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they're not really dead, Oshin.
Yes. They're not really dead.
It's fiction, you know?
It's fiction. But in it, the game that the guy recruits them into, the big death game, they get offered a red or blue paper towel to use.
Oh.
You know, the one that they have to throw it at the floor before the game starts. He's picking them up in like the train stations and shit.
Oh, yeah. Another one. Yeah, yeah. That's Japanese. I thought the Squid Game was Korean.
It's Korean. The director confirmed that this is a reference to Akamando.
That's really cool. Fascinating. Because Korea has some great ghost stories as well, like some really terrifying stuff.
Yeah, no, it really does.
They don't censor anything. Like, they just have some really horrifying stories and movies, and they're just completely on another level to Western stuff.
Yeah. For our last and most recent stop on this horror holiday, let us go to the late 1990s.
Yes.
It's called Akai Heia, or the Red Room Curse, and it revolves around the utterly terrifying notion that evil spirits have now mastered the internet.
Oh, no.
Imagine that.
I mean, we had the Donaldson messages where a medieval peasant managed to access the internet, so...
Yeah. You sit down for some browsing of the World Wide Web. The dial-up is singing away. Life is good.
Spice Girl staying in the background.
You get a mysterious pop-up. A red page with black text that reads, Anatawa Skideska, do you like?
Do you like?
Yeah, that's what it means.
Just do you like, doesn't say...
Do you like?
Okay.
Question mark. You want to get on with your browsing, or perhaps you worry that there is a virus, or you rightfully get spooked. Anyway, when you try to close it, it only opens again, this time reading, Anatawa Akehaya Gaskideska. Do you like the red room? It still cannot be closed, no matter what you try. Not even the three-finger salute will save you.
What's the three-finger salute?
Control-Alt-Delete.
That's... Wow. Okay.
Then the whole screen turns red, and there's a list of all the Red Room's victims. What's that? You feel a mysterious presence with you, behind you, before you lose consciousness. You too are a victim of the Red Room curse, and you are found dead, the walls of your room painted red with blood.
Wow.
What do you make of that?
That's very early creepypasta.
Yeah.
Urban legend online ghost story.
It was a bit of a throwback.
Yeah.
So... Going with that, there is a flash animation back in the 90s that was said to have inspired this legend. Kind of similar to what is described, but obviously not pop like a continuous pop-up sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was uploaded to the self-hosting site GeoCities with a story about a boy getting cursed and dying after viewing the pop-up.
Oh.
Without going too much into it, because it's a bit of a downer, there was a murder in 2004 called the Sasebo Slashing, where it gets tied into it as the animation was bookmarked on the 11-year-old murderer's computer.
Oh.
You can look that up yourself. It's
Do you have
sad.
The animation?
I don't have the animation. I have a picture of it, though. Like, again, it mightn't be the original. It could be, like, based on the story that came about after the original or what have you.
Yeah, it looks like a Flash animation.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Flash. Like... Like, as a namesake, red rooms are still a bit of an urban legend, but without the whole pop-up thing. So on the dark web, it's rumored that they exist and that they're like some sort of like killing room snuff film sort of thing that rich weirdos tune into and they see people die. I don't think that they're real and I don't want to know if they are.
Yeah.
That stuff can stay well away from me, but I genuinely don't think they're real.
There's a Japanese commercial as well that's supposed to be cursed. If you watch it at midnight, have you heard of that one?
I haven't heard of that. I have heard of a cursed commercial, all right.
Is it the Kleenex one?
Yes.
Apparently, yeah, if you watch that one at midnight, it sounds different. It's like demonic. So maybe we should do another episode on that and actually stay up to midnight and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the song from that one stuck in my head for ages, and it's not a good song. It's a terrible song, and it's really creepy, but I just couldn't get it out of my head for ages. There's no rules or anything to, like, get out of the Red Room stuff, is there? Or
no, once you see the pop-up, that's it.
You're doomed. Like,
you're doomed, yeah.
It's very much like those emails, you know, like, if you don't respond...
Oh, the chain mail?
If you don't send this... forward this email to 20 people, this girl will appear in your room.
If you forward this to people, you will get luxury and riches. If you do not, 20 years of bad luck.
Yeah. You will not wake up in the morning, basically.
Yeah.
It's very online with that kind of early email chain thing.
Yeah. I just love the idea that, like, the spirits are like, times have changed, we need to evolve. Go take a course down the local college.
The Flash animation course. Which of the three stories is your favourite one?
I really like the old one. I like Mimi no Hashihoji.
Which, that's the one with the...
That's the biwa player. The
banjo player.
Yeah, the banjo, yeah.
Yeah, that one is very good. That's pretty creepy one, all right. I love the one of 100 stories. I think I read that that was used for like a bravery test, basically, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
For samurai? It did.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of one side of it. It was also that it was like a popular parlor game as well.
Yeah.
So like one thing led to another or vice versa, I think.
You'd want like a good crowd of people with you if you were doing that one too. Because 100 ghost stories is a lot of ghost stories. Like, yeah, there's two of you, that's 50 each. Like,
yeah. Just nuts. Even 10 of you, there's 10 each. Like, you know, that's...
Yeah, exactly. Still 10 ghost stories. Like, it's hard to come up with stories.
But it would be good, like all night sort of thing.
Yeah, I suppose the whole thing with that is you're just kind of getting more and more freaked out as you go along because you're telling all these stories.
Yeah, you're telling more. It's getting darker with the lights going out.
You're kind of just performing this ritual as well, which is just terrifying.
There's a ritual about it and you're all kind of getting into the zone as it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should do that for an episode someday. We'll just try and summon a spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
I don't mind getting cut down by a spectral samurai. Like, I'm up for that.
Yeah. That would be cool, though. Yeah, I like that one. That was probably my favorite.
That wasn't even one of my stories. That was the preface.
Was it not? Oh, well, yeah, I suppose it wasn't, was it?
Yeah, you got a fourth one for a thing.
For free.
That's all I have time to cover this week. It's very much the tip of the iceberg. There's so much out there, and it is all super interesting. I'd like to give a special shout out to Dog with the Face of a Man as an urban legend, because I love it, and it's interesting, and also it might have more historical roots, so maybe we might cover that in another episode. If you like the podcast and would like to suggest us to your friends and family, we would really appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, send us an email and we'll get back to you. Thanks for tuning in out there, and we'll see you folks next week. Janet.
Bye.